Should Colorado Springs Utilities close its last remaining coal-fired power plant on schedule by 2029? That would keep the city in compliance with state law, requiring 80% CO2 reduction by 2030. The utility tells us it is too expensive to make the switch now to less carbon-intensive generation technologies. Get the scoop next.
This is Studio 809 Podcasts, informing, connecting, and empowering the residents of the Pikes Peak region.
Welcome to Peak Environment, the Pikes Peak region's podcast about environmental integrity and stewardship. I'm producer and occasional host Dave Gardner. We're recording this episode on February 20th in the Studio 809 Podcasts Community Podcast Studio at the Next Us, a professional cooperative environment for small businesses in downtown Colorado Springs. At the Next Us, we're on our own 2 feet, each on our own path, but we have each other's back. I want to thank Pikes Peak Permaculture for their support of the Peak Environment podcast. Learn more about permaculture and Pikes Peak Permaculture happenings in our area at pikespeakpermaculture.org. They're launching the 2026 Permaculture Design Course on February 27th, so don't waste any time heading to that website to explore. All right, let's talk about burning coal to generate electricity. In the studio with me to share their expertise, we have Jim Lockhart, the conservation chair of the Pikes Peak Group of Sierra Club. You're really new to the Sierra Club. Just been there, what, 150 years, Jim?
More than 40, yeah.
Jim's got some real institutional knowledge, so thanks for being here. We have Sierra Guerrero with 350 Colorado Springs. Officially, you're the
team coordinator for the local team.
All right. And a new content partner for the Peak Environment podcast. So welcome to the club.
Thank you, Dave.
And then we have Olivia West, who apparently she's in the witness protection program. Doesn't stay in one place very long. You are an environmental organizer currently working on the Ray Nixon project for the Sierra Club. Just for the Sierra Club?
Mainly for Sierra Club, but also for Green Corps, which is an environmental organizing fellowship.
Okay. Yeah. So, you know, until somewhat recently, I hadn't been hearing much about the Ray Nixon power plant, but now we're hearing a lot about it. I guess there's a natural gas unit and a coal unit there, right? Mm-hmm. It's the last vestige of coal burning in Colorado Springs Utilities portfolio, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes. So
why is it in the news?
Well, it's in the news because Colorado Springs Utilities has encouraged some of our local legislators to put a bill, Senate Bill 26022, into the hopper that would allow them to extend the time period for operating the Nixon plant beyond the current end of 2029, scheduled closing. Every utility has a kind of a clean energy plan, and Colorado Springs' current plan requires them to close it by the end of 2029.
Now, everybody's got a clean energy plan because of other state legislation, right?
Yes, there's a legislation was put in place back in 2019 to require them to do that. Colorado Springs is a little unique as a municipal utility in that they could voluntarily produce such a plan. And of course, there are advantages to doing that. And they did so back in 2020, I believe.
But the requirement was to reduce your carbon emissions by 80%?
By 80% by 2030 and by 100%, I believe, by 2050. Mm-hmm.
But are you saying that Colorado Springs Utilities isn't subject to that requirement?
No, they are subject to it because they produced a plan and they've gotten advantages from that. Among other things, the Nixon plant would not be in compliance with the most recent clean air requirements. And one of the arguments they made was that, well, if we're just going to close it down in a few years, you shouldn't require us to put these expensive pollution controls onto our smokestacks.
So maybe we should kind of step back for anybody who isn't as close to the subject as we are. Why should we care?
Burning coal is bad for our environment and for our health. Surprise, surprise. It is also more expensive than renewable energy. So it's not a good long-term investment. So why should you care? I mean, why should you not care, basically?
Yeah, so that just blows me away. Every news item I'm reading these days is that solar and wind have become much more affordable mm-hmm. than fossil fuels.
Yeah.
For generating electricity.
Yeah, that's true.
And there's other health impacts too. Coal plants emit a lot of mercury pollution and other like VOCs, all kinds of toxic pollutants that have extremely negative health impacts, you know, not just for people who breathe the air in the immediate vicinity, but, you know, since we're all connected, we all breathe this air and it adds up. It adds up fast.
And Colorado Springs Utilities made us proud by closing Martin Drake ahead of schedule, mm-hmm. right? Which was mm-hmm. a big coal-burning power plant right in the heart of downtown Colorado Springs. It was like a landmark right next to America Beautiful, the park. I remember when I was filming my Growthbusters documentary, I had this great shot of kids playing in the fountain, and there right behind them were the stacks where we were burning all that coal. So what changed? Why would Colorado Springs Utilities move from closing Martin Drake early to wanting to keep Raynex and open longer?
Well, they claim it is for financial reasons, that it's turning out to be more expensive to make the shift than they originally anticipated. You know, we do have some problems with that, of course, because there are approximately 50 utilities providing electricity in the state of Colorado. Like I said, they all have clean energy plans. Colorado Springs is the only one right now which is saying that we need special legislation to excuse us from complying with our plan because of cost. And if it was as expensive, really, as they are claiming, then you have to wonder, why are the other utilities not also asking for relief? You've maybe heard this story about the Sherlock Holmes adventure where the key clue was that the dog didn't bark. Here we have 50 dogs who aren't barking.
Well, let's all pause and scratch our heads for a couple minutes. Olivia, you look like you have something to add.
Well, yeah, I'm adding on to that. As you said, the Drake plant, it was right downtown, right? Everyone saw it. It, you know, was really a top of mind. And this one is a bit farther away. You don't see it as often. You know, as you mentioned, it wasn't in the headlines until recently. So there was no public pressure to close it. And so Colorado Springs Utilities probably thought that they could, you know, sneak by us and get away with extending the lifespan of this power plant. But, I mean, we're here to say that, no, they can't do that.
You know, Jim, because you've been here a little while, you remember there was a considerable citizen energy behind getting Martin Drake to close.
Absolutely. It was right downtown. It was right next to a residential neighborhood. There were a lot of reasons to close it immediately, but of course, the Ray Nixon plant is also close to other communities. It happens to be outside city limits, but yeah. It's certainly not out in the wilderness there. And as Sierra said, there are impacts that go a long way beyond just the immediate vicinity, which have to be considered.
Yeah. In a way, it's kind of good to see the community waking up about something, because mm-hmm. it seems like we've been, well, we haven't been asleep about everything. It seems to me like people have been protesting at Acacia Park and City Hall lately about something.
Well, if we're not awake, it's not because Colorado Springs Utilities has been exactly shouting to the rooftops mm-hmm. that it wants to make this change. In fact, I think it's been very quiet. They are talking about an energy integrated resource management plan revision, which is ordinarily an 18-month process, three stages, at which they have to provide some public input. And so, you know, this has all been done kind of behind the scenes. They've talked to legislators, but, you know, as far as, you know, coming out 6 months or a year ago to the public and saying, what does the public think, that hasn't happened.
Well, clearly, this bill at the State House, it must be sponsored by some ultra-conservative climate deniers, right?
You would think so, right?
Yeah.
No, actually, there are two Democratic co-sponsors. Senator Mark Snyder and Rep. Amy Pascal are co-sponsoring this bill, which we're not happy about, I'd say.
That's so weird. Those are two good people.
Yes, yeah. Yeah.
So that's surprising to me.
Well, Colorado Springs Utilities, we believe, has been telling them that this is necessary. As Jim said, they haven't been talking to the public, but they've been talking to legislators, and it hasn't really given us the chance to tell our legislators, you know, what we want. And so that's what we're here to do now with this campaign is really have people talking to their legislators and making Snyder and Pascal aware that we want clean energy and we want this investment into our future.
You've already poked some holes in this argument that they can't afford to not keep burning coal. But there's more besides the 50 utilities or 49 other utilities in the state that don't seem to be having that problem. Didn't Sierra Club do some kind of a study too?
Yes. We released a study back in December of this year, looking 25 years into the future to determine what would be the best thing specific to Colorado Springs utilities to allow them over that period of time to have the cheapest, most affordable, most effective portfolio of energy sources. And what it found was that coal was more expensive than switching to renewables, which is not terribly surprising when you consider that the price of renewables has been going down and that the price of coal can only go up. And there are right now about 9 utilities still burning coal in Colorado. They're all scheduled to close within the next 5 years. Colorado Springs wants to be accepted from that, but you have to think if there was a restaurant which lost all but one of its customers, there's no way that it could continue to serve the same meals at the same price. It's really hard to see how a coal mine or how a railroad which transports coal wouldn't be in the same situation. So, you know, if you look at the price of coal today, that doesn't say what it's going to be over the next 25 years.
I'm guessing, first of all, Jim, that the Sierra Club study didn't look at externalities, right? It didn't price in the costs that we're all going to pay, not in our utility bills, but from climate disruption.
Yeah, from kicking the can down the road, essentially.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. Right. Those costs weren't in that study, right?
Many of them probably weren't. It would be very hard to quantify a lot of the externalities specific to Colorado Springs utilities.
Yeah, so I wanted to ask you about that. So even if it were true that just the internal costs, the cost of buying the fuel and generating the electricity were going to be less expensive for a few years burning coal than proceeding with the original plan to have cleaner technologies, and we're not saying it is, but let's say even if it were, what you pay in your utility bill isn't the only thing you pay. That isn't the only cost.
Exactly. There are so many more health impacts and really just responsibilities that are passed off to the next generation. Because the truth is that Colorado Springs utilities should be looking at this situation with a wider boundary lens than what they're currently looking at it with. There's a lot of perspective that is missing, a lot of stakeholders who should be invited to this conversation. And as a public-owned utility, I think it's really important that the public knows what's happening and gets chances to comment on it, and not only chances that are offered in the middle of a working day.
Well, and even locally, over like the next 10 years, just looking at the air quality, there's going to be costs of premature deaths, more emergency room admissions. If people's health is negatively impacted, even if you aren't downwind of that power plant, that's going to affect costs for you. You're going to pay higher insurance premiums. You're going to be paying for those emergency room visits, et cetera, right?
Yes, right.
And that you can put a cost to. Yeah. And you can also put a cost to the value of human life.
What?
Within reason, you can determine how many additional deaths would occur because of an additional level of pollution.
Yeah.
And I just hopping in here.
Please.
I want to add that the transition to renewable energy is going to happen. That is where our future lies. That's what we've been seeing across the world. So why not now? You know, why push this off for 10 more years if this investment into clean energy is going to happen and must happen and this infrastructure must be built? Why push it 10 years later when, as Sierra and Jim said, that is just going to result in loss of life, you know, health impacts, et cetera.
Now, it seems to me if you're working on, you know, just visiting with good legislators who you think there's a good opportunity to get them to kill this bill, mm-hmm. it seems to me like Mark Snyder and Amy Pascal would be near the top of your list. Is there historical precedent for bill sponsors to actually say, whoops, changed my mind, I withdraw my support for this bill? Does that happen?
Well, yes. The bill has not yet been introduced into the House, so Pascal could simply remove her name from co-sponsoring it and not introduce it, and then it would not have bipartisan support in the House, which, you know, would effectively work to kill it. Snyder, also in his committee, could, you know, voice that he does not support the bill anymore. I understand that it can be hard sometimes to walk back a commitment like that, but hopefully once hearing from their constituents about how much we oppose this, they're able to do that right thing.
And we have, of course, been talking with our legislators, mm-hmm. and they have told us that they have some problems with the CSU's position here. They want to know more details because, really, there is no plan that you can look at, put down on paper about what it is the utilities is asking for. We mentioned 10 years. That's what the statute says they have to meet 80% by. But what they're also telling us is, well, we only need a little help for a little time. And I know that our legislators want to put a bill before the legislature. That is reasonable. And in order to do that, they have to know exactly what it is that Colorado Springs is asking for in the way of relief. And that has not happened so far.
You know, I didn't hear a lot of complaining from Colorado Springs utilities for the last 5 years about heading, you know, meeting this 80% thing.
Until just a few months ago, they were telling us that everything was good and that their plan was still in effect, and there were no plans to change that. We started hearing murmurings about this being a possibility of the coal plant extension at the tail end of last year. And interestingly, in September of 2025, the Department of Energy came out with a $625 million deal to expand and reinvigorate the coal industry. The stated purpose is for the grid to stay resilient and reliable, but most of what they were talking about there was for military and AI utilization of that grid. There's a direct quote from the U.S. Secretary of Energy, Chris Wright. It says, "Beautiful clean coal will be essential to powering America's reindustrialization and winning the AI race." Also, in February, this February, there was an executive order to the Department of Defense to buy electricity from coal-fired power plants. And the executive order also announced new funding to restart and upgrade coal plants in several states. So now they're specifically allotting some of those funds to different states. Just an interesting aside, possibly related.
Possibly.
Well, related to that, Travis Steele, the CEO of Colorado Springs Utilities, I understand he worked in the coal industry before. Is it possible he dreams of coal every night when he's asleep instead of sugar plums dancing in his head? Mm. I mean, is that a theory or is that crazy?
I can only speculate on that one, but he has made a couple of statements related to large load users on the grid, like data centers coming to town, you know, possibly being a thing and needing to upgrade capacity for that reason.
Let's pull on that thread a little bit, because I was wondering about that. What do we know? They're telling us, I think, that our demand for electricity is increasing. Are current customers using more electricity today than they were a year ago or 2 years ago? Do we know what that trend line looks like?
I do not know. Mm-hmm. I would expect that probably, if anything, it is going to go down, because Colorado Springs is switching to a net metering type of approach, which encourages people to switch their energy use to times of day when the demand on the grid isn't as great, and to charge them more if they want to use electricity between 5 and 9 on weekdays.
Yeah, so if that's, if that's effective.
You would think that if anything, for the same number of people, the amount of electricity use would be going down. That's certainly what they're encouraging them to do.
So is it possible that they're needing to raise our electric rates because their plan is that they're going to need to add significant generation capacity so that they can attract a data center, that's their big economic development plan. And that's going to be very expensive to add that. And so they're trying to figure out a way to make it as painless as they can for the existing customers, or, you know, shift the blame. They don't want the existing customers to know that their rates are going up because we're adding capacity for data center versus adding capacity just to meet their needs.
I would say that Colorado Springs has a long-term reputation, a long-term policy of encouraging growth to annex additional territories, to bring more people into the community, to, in general, grow the community until eventually it, you know, be a much larger city than it is today. That certainly is the policy of the city as a whole there, and that certainly does mean that they're going to have more demand as time goes by.
And I'd like to speculate and say that that definitely is something that could be the case across Colorado. We've been seeing, you know, different places prepare and try to incentivize data centers to come in. There's a current piece of legislation, HB 1030, that would provide data centers with 100% sales and use tax exemptions for the next 20 years, which is exactly what goes along with what you're saying. They want data centers to come in and get built, and then all of us customers will be bearing the brunt of those costs.
Why would they want that? What would be the reason that you would want data centers? Doesn't a data center employ a handful of people?
Yeah, that's correct. A lot of people think that it may promote economic development and bring in jobs, but the facts show that across the country, that is not the case. There are a couple jobs in the beginning to build those data centers, but then beyond that, not much of anything.
Yeah, actually, I think the chief benefit of building a data center in your community is the sales tax revenue that would be generated by the construction, I would think.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
One of the primary uses for these facilities is for surveillance and military AI technology.
Which is great. And exactly what we want, right?
Yeah.
But let's not forget one thing about this, which is that renewables are the cheaper alternative. So if you want to grow your grid to increase the sales of electricity, why would you go with a technology which can't improve, which can only go downhill, as opposed to a technology which is, you know, rapidly making strides to make it more effective, more efficient, more reliable? So, you know, even assuming that there is an aim to increase the total amount of usage in the community, wouldn't it still be better to go to the renewables, to the green energy?
Well, Jim, let me play devil's advocate here. You don't want those pesky wind turbines. Those things are terrible, right? There's nothing good about wind turbines. And, wow, as soon as the wind stops blowing or the sun goes down, we're out of electricity. No?
That used to be a much better argument than it is today, you know, because they have done studies which show that if you combine solar power with battery storage, that combination is cheaper than continuing to rely on fossil fuels.
And it is reliable.
Yes.
But it seems like that myth persists. If you read the letters to the editor in the local newspaper, you can tell that myth isn't dead yet.
Oh, definitely not. Yeah. It would be the better option, right? But the 7 or 8 companies that are playing hot potato with the U.S. economy right now rely on AI data center industrial complex to keep that going.
So what else needs to be said here?
There are a lot of opportunities to get involved. So many opportunities. I think that we forget sometimes that we are the system. There's definitely a lot of information coming at us from all sides, but you have an opportunity right now to make your voice heard. We have this issue here. It's something that we can rally around. We haven't had, you know, something like this environmentally since the Martin Drake coal plant closed. So if you can call the sponsors of the bill, if you can call the Colorado Springs City Council members, those are really good things to do right now. Let them know that you're concerned about this. And you don't have to worry about having all the exact facts right. They just really need to hear from people. If this is something that you're concerned about, let them know.
It's as easy as calling them, saying your name and your zip code so they know that you're a constituent, and saying that you oppose keeping the Nixon plant open. That's literally all you have to say. And, you know, they'll keep track of that and Yeah, I like that you saying that we forget that we are the system. I think that is so true. And I think we forget really our own power. And again, as you said, like Snyder and Pascal, like they are good people. I think they do want to listen to us. We just have to let them know what we really think.
Yeah, I think Colorado Springs Utilities got to them first with their version of the story. So we need citizen action to maybe head this off at the pass because the bill's not even out of committee yet, right? Is it likely to go House before Senate or?
It's in the Senate right now.
So where can listeners go if they do want to find out more information or follow the issue, or maybe they're excited and they really want to step up and they want to come see you and join the people who are working almost full time on this? Where can they go to get information about that?
Social media is always a great place, at Sierra Club CEO. On Facebook and Instagram, we do a lot of posting about this. We also do have a online petition form. I don't know if we can include that in like show notes or something.
Sure. We'll put a link in the show notes.
Yeah, for sure. So if people sign that, then, you know, we'll be in touch and we'll tell you about the next thing.
This is a petition that shows public sentiment. It's not something that you get so many signatures and suddenly the state has to do this or...
Correct. Right. Yes, correct. So the hope with the petition is that we show enough support that, I mean, we do petition delivery events, so it's not an official, like, you know, governmental thing, but we will bring people to the Capitol and we'll go to our legislators and say, look, this is how many people signed saying they support or oppose this issue. So yeah, it's just a really easy way to show your support for clean energy.
Okay. And then you were going somewhere else.
Yeah. Well, I was going to say we have weekly clean energy action team meetings, and both Sierra and I think we'll be there every week in the Penrose Library's Pine Room. And there's also an option to attend virtually. That's on Thursdays at 5:45 p.m. So
Penrose Library every Thursday at 5:45?
Mm-hmm. Yep, exactly. And we do a lot of different campaign action, so it's a way to get involved and raise your voice with a group of like-minded people, and then also just talk about different clean energy issues and learn more about what's going on in the state of Colorado on this issue.
Yeah, it's awesome. We have a few different groups collaborating on those events. Yeah. Sierra Club, 350 Colorado Springs, Mi Familia Vota, and also Sunrise Movement at Colorado College. So it's good kind of coming together of different environmental groups from around the area.
And then 350 Colorado Springs meets monthly, right?
Yes, every third Wednesday of the month, we meet at 5:30 p.m. And right now we're doing those meetings at Poor Richard's downtown in the restaurant by the back, by the corkboard.
And Pikes Peak Group of Sierra Club isn't meeting regularly, I don't think, right? But you guys do have events, and you have one coming up, at least.
We do, and you can just Google Pikes Peak Sierra Club, and you can find out what our different activities and how you can connect with us.
Yeah, and I think March 24th, there's a wildlife educational event. That's the Pikes Peak Group of Sierra Club at Seven's Gate Tap Room.
Oh, right, yes.
Oh, awesome.
And then there's one more thing. Can we put a plug in for what's going on April 4th at Kangaroo Coffee?
Yeah, let's do it.
Tell us about that.
There is going to be a local sustainability networking event at Kangaroo Coffee April 4th. That's a Saturday. It'll be 5 to 7 p.m. Basically, if you're concerned about sustainability, the environment, the land, the air, the water, you live in this region, you're a part of a group or you're an individual doing cool things, want to do cool things, we're getting together, kind of just sharing out from each group or individual what we're working on, just see if there's any opportunities for collaboration. And then we'll have some unstructured networking time where we can just make that cross-pollination that needs to happen happen. You want to get involved with sustainability, and that's a part of your past, present, or future. Please come be with us.
If you're a regular listener to Peak Environment, you know that one of our content partners for several years has been Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. And way back in the day, Pikes Peak Group of Sierra Club provided some content, and Green Cities Coalition provided some content. Green Cities Coalition doesn't even exist anymore. So there's been fewer networking and educational opportunities, although there are some groups that remain pretty active. Pikes Peak Group of Sierra Club is still at it. 350 Colorado Springs, bless you. Pikes Peak Permaculture is really rocking it mm-hmm. these days. And Peak Alliance for Sustainable Future continues. Their monthly sustainability and progress, what used to be coffee at Ivy Wild prior to COVID, since COVID ended up being mostly virtual, and the participation hasn't been at the level that it used to be. It used to be that 30 people would get up and show up at Ivy Wild School for a 7 o'clock in the morning meeting. Can you believe that, Olivia?
Oh, wow.
Yeah. And we had monthly Green Cities Coalition gatherings, and a lot of people miss those. And so some of us supporters got together and we did a survey to try to figure out what needs to change or what needs to be added to the mix so that the people in our community who really have strong environmental values can get together and communicate better, network, and keep themselves informed about what's going on. What do we need to do? And one of the things that we heard from the participants in that survey was people really did want in-person networking opportunities. And those haven't been provided in a while, partly because right after COVID, nobody would show up for a networking mm-hmm. opportunity. But they're ready now. They're hungry for that. And so this April 4th is in response to that. Okay, here's an event where you can show up. So you asked for it. So
here it is.
Yeah, here it is.
Yeah, I think it's really good that people are ready. We need to find the others and be with each other and support what we're doing out here.
The other thing we heard that surprised us a little bit was that the noon on Wednesday, third Wednesday noon, was when the Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future was doing their sustainability and progress virtual events. And we heard pretty loud and clear that people would really prefer to have these at 5 or 6 p.m. Apparently, they want to have a glass of wine in their hand, not a peanut butter and jelly sandwich.
Yeah, we've had a lot of luck doing stuff at like 5, 6 p.m. too, after work, after school.
Yeah. So I think sustainability and progress is, it's not gone. It's been taking a few months off, but I think you can look forward to that happening, but probably at 5 or 6 p.m., Tuesday, Wednesday, or Thursday, we're working on that. So keep listening to Peak Environment, and I'll put a link in the show notes to where you can actually get on the email list for Peak Alliance for a Sustainable Future. However you get your information, look, but definitely follow the Peak Environment podcast wherever you're getting your podcasts. Yeah. Any last words?
An important thing to recognize here is that this is not just a local problem that concerns only the people of Colorado Springs. As we have said before, you know, the air goes beyond our city limits. The people in the community south of town, the people down in Pueblo, have a definite interest in this legislation, and they have legislators. I'm sure it's not just our legislators who are hearing about this bill, which seems to give advantage to Colorado Springs, lets them have cheap electricity, while the cost of that is spread out over the region. So I think that it's important to recognize that this is not just a local question of how much we pay for our electric bills. There are other issues involved here that are very significant and which I'm sure will be taken into account when this goes to committee and when this goes to the legislature for a vote.
All right. Well, Sierra Guerrero, 350 Colorado Springs, Jim Lockhart, only with Sierra Club for 40 or 50 years, and Olivia West with Sierra Club and Green Corp. Thanks a lot for sharing what you know about this.
Thank you,
Thank you.
Thanks, Dave. I have one more thing to say to the people. Stay brave. Reclaim your power, use your voice, slow down, and keep moving forward.
In the Pikes Peak region, there's no shortage of activities. Whether you're experiencing breathtaking parks or magnificent works of art, if you're getting fashionable at a film festival, or fresh at a farmer's market, if you want to hear the sweet sounds of a symphony or the smooth shred of a Stratocaster, look no further than Peak Radar, your one-stop shop for all events in the Pikes Peak region, your free source for viewing and posting events. So no matter how you engage with our beautiful region, visit peakradar.com and get plugged into the peak.